Hey, Sue.
Hey, Spencer. What's your dream home?
Well, I'd say just something I could afford to start off with.
Okay, well, same thing 75 years ago. There was this huge post-war demand for starter homes, and from that, the Lustron home was born. And maybe you've seen one. Maybe there's one near you, and I think there is. There were 2,000 or so built, and a lot of these small prefab starter homes were planted right here in Illinois. What made them so easy to maintain is what makes them easy to spot during a stroll through your neighborhood. They're made completely of enameled steel panels in one of four lovely pastel colors.
It's a house that that came on a box and some trucks.
Yeah.
And it's under rocks, so we went in search of one of these treasures hidden in plain sight. Our co-host Dan Libman had heard about a cluster of these Lustron houses in Mount Morris, so he tracked down the owner of one, who actually happens to own a very different type of tiny house. So this is where we'll start this under rocks journey.
Come on in.
Under rocks is in Oregon, Illinois, once again, in a really cool old building here.
This building is so tiny. This is a one-room building.
And let's get your name.
Okay,
too.
So John, where's the camera? So John Lindhorst, owner, proprietor of Ukulele Station America, which is this little building we're in right now. And then right behind it is the huge building that's the Oregon Music Garage, OMG. This building is, right now it's a ukulele shop, high-end. Next door is the starter and mid-range ukuleles, also banjos, mandolins, guitars, electric guitars, amplifiers, full-on music stuff.
So tell us about this building.
Okay, so we are in a total of 208 square feet. So this was built in 1931, and it's handmade from local stone that was quarried locally. Although, if you go around the outside of the building with a geologist, they will point out a ton of weird rocks and fossils and things he laid into the building.
Oh, wow.
So when you walk around, you go like, "What? Look, there's some granite and iron, all these different weird things, cephalopods and brachiopods and stuff."
When you bought it, was it with the intention of turning it into a ukulele
store? It was
going to
be my man cave. Because I had over 100 ukuleles in my own collection.
Okay.
At that point.
You were not selling them at
that
point?
No, I was just buying them. And I was paying retail. So, yeah. So that was the idea. And then I thought, you know, I taught for 40 years. I was kind of bored in retirement after only a year. I said, let's just, after the restoration of the building, I thought, you know what, I'm going to open a ukulele. So I started with just some of my own collection in here.
John shows us some of his impressive collection, and we ask about one of his other retirement projects we're here to investigate, purchasing a Lustron house.
Tell us how you got interested in the Lustron house.
Okay, so I like cool stuff.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was an appraiser, Lori. So she called me once when I was still living in San Diego. Lori calls me and says, there's a Lustron for sale in Mount Morris. I said, let me check it out. So I checked it out, called the people, made a deal, and bought it. So I had it rented out, had someone managing it for me.
Mm-hmm. Were you planning on living in the Lustron?
That was the goal, live in the Lustron until I couldn't get around and then move to Pinecrest. So I thought, I'll live in this Lustron, easy, no stairs. Then when I can't get around, I'm a few blocks away from the seniors, from Pinecrest's nursing home.
Yeah.
And they'll take care of me till I die or whatever. And, you know, so that was the plan. And then this came up.
And
so
you started by saying the Lustron home is cool. Tell us why it's cool.
Okay. So what's cool is they're mid-century. They were all built in like 1949.
Uh-huh.
And they have these 2x2 panels of metal covered in porcelain enamel.
Uh-huh.
And they look real. I mean, you'd see them, they're like, that's a Lustron. A lot of people say, oh, is that one of those Sears home? You know, there were a lot of prefab homes that doesn't make them a Lustron. This was the specific company out of Columbus, Ohio. I think the original guy was, I can't remember his name, but he was out of Chicago. He was an engineer. Mm-hmm. He developed this process for porcelainizing steel panels.
Yeah.
And it was all parts, like thousands of parts. And it came on 2 specially built trucks. You had to have a lot with a slab. You could do a basement. Most of them didn't. And then they would deliver it and put it together in 2 weeks, and you had a house.
Wow. What's the appeal, other than the fact that you can assemble them quickly?
The idea was, back then, was post-World War II, we need housing. we need affordable housing for all the guys coming back from the army or whatever, the war, so they could build them fast and they were affordable.
I think it's interesting that a realtor called you to say, I've got her Lustron. So obviously people knew that you were...
Well, she's a friend of mine.
Okay. She knew you were looking, though. So this is...
Yes.
You knew she your knew parents that
I,
looked.
Well, she knew I liked Lustrons because they were weird. They were cool.
Yeah.
Now, I had friends that lived in them in Lombard because I went to school at Willowbrook and Villa Park. And friends of mine were, you know, from Lombard, Glen Allen, and Villa Park. And there's, you know, 20, there were 23, there were more at some point in Lombard. So I had friends that either lived in one or lived next door to one. And they all, as a kid, we thought they were weird. Like, what is that weird looking house? You know, the thing I like about them is it's, you know, I'm a baby boomer. It's mid-century. And I wish mine was 100% authentic inside. The pass-through kitchen thing has been removed and the cabinets are a little funky. The bathroom's been changed, of course. The furnace had to be changed because they had this furnace that blew into the attic and whatever. So
it seems like most of them changed a little bit, did a lot of renovations.
Some do window replacements. I guess Window World actually does a decent replacement that you can get them to match the shape and you know, format or whatever of the windows that are in there now. Mine, I just put all new chimney liner, a new roof on the garage, you know, with that hailstorm we had last year and stuff like that. So, but the roof is metal. It looks like enamel, but it's metal.
Is it loud in there?
No, because there's a little attic.
Yeah.
No, it's weird. People think like, when it rains, must be loud, cold. No, there's an attic.
Okay.
Like, not to get into, but just for, you can't crawl up there, I don't think, but there's a space up there.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot of insulation in the walls, but they're, my tenants say it's toasty as can be, no problem. The Lori, my friend who called me about it, she says, I tell people, they go, well, what do you think it's like? She goes, it's like living in a lunchbox because it's just like a metal lunch pail. You're living in it. All the walls are metal. So my tenants, thank God I have amazing tenants.
They just magnet it up.
They take all their pictures. Yeah. And you're going to see, she's got a million things on the walls. She glues magnets onto the back of the picture frames and you just stick them anywhere you want. But they said, you know, they love it in there. It's two bedrooms, one bath. Everything's one level. I kind of still think, you know, if I didn't have all this here with the new building and I'm doing a lot of work on my house, I would love to live in one. I mean, I think it'd be cool. It'd be a great little Airbnb kind of a thing. But if I had it, I would totally furnish it 100% with mid-century stuff, which is easy to get nowadays.
After talking with John, we head from Oregon to Mount Morris to find his Lustron home. Greeting us on the porch with a big jug of sun tea is Larry and Cindy Mine, who live in the Lustron, and our experts, Ashley Sarver and Val Olufsen.
We have heard that you guys are awesome tenants.
Well, that's good because he's an awesome landlord.
Okay, good.
We'll make sure he hears that.
Okay, yeah, we're in Mount Morris, and we've got a Lustron. Well, let's start with Ashley, who you've met before, friend of Under Rocks.
Hello.
Who is the Mount Morris, how do you describe yourself?
Mount Morris enthusiast, I think.
Nice. Yeah. Few and far between, but here she is. And why don't you introduce us to Valerie?
Yes, this is my good friend Val Olufsen. She's also in Rockford. We did a lot of work together on the history of downtown Mount Morris, but Val also is an expert in these Lustron homes, which we're going to talk about. Yes. So.
Let's start with, is it Lustron or Lustron?
Lustron.
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 That's the extent of my interest in it.
Uh-huh.
You guys have any other questions? Or?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Well, the Lustron Corporation was headed by Carl Strandland. And Carl Strandland was part of, it was called Chicago Vitris, and they actually built gas stations. But during World War II, there was a moratorium on building. And the Reconstruction Finance Corporation decided to give money to different companies to design and create prefabricated homes because they understood post-World War II there was going to be a housing boom. And Lustron Corporation was one of 10 companies that got a loan from the federal government to develop houses, and they use the same material because if you're familiar, there's a couple gas stations that are made of the same material in Rockford. So they converted it to houses, and their selling idea was very interesting because they opened what almost was like today to us a car dealership, and you would go and you would pick out the color you wanted. Did you want a two-bedroom or a three-bedroom house and everything? And then you would get your property, you would build a slab, because all prefabricated homes are built on slabs, because that really keeps the cost down. Okay. So you build your slab, then a big semi would pull up to your property. You'd be handed a book on how to put your lustron together.
Okay.
And then you'd put it together.
And how long would it take, most people?
The record for putting the lustron together is 39 hours.
39 hours.
So
what would it average? What would it take me? Like, how many months?
Not months. Yeah. A couple of weeks. And everything that you needed for the house was on that truck. The windows, the interior, the HVAC system, wow, which is one of their bad designs. One of their interesting designs was a dishwasher that converted to a clothes washer.
Interesting.
Ooh. Damn, I don't have one.
It's really interesting because everything is enameled steel, from the roof to the walls. Now, the exterior, as you can see, are squares. But on the interior, it's still enameled steel, but it's vertical panels. So if you want to hang art, you use magnets.
You could see that.
You guys have magnets in there?
Yeah. Okay.
And so Clever. And so you never have to paint your house.
Yeah.
You just you could take a hose, wash it down, clean it.
No, you can't do that inside.
No, you can't do that inside. But then the RFC really kept close ties on all the companies.
I'm sorry,
the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, okay, which was a branch of the federal government, kept really close eyes on all the people that they gave money to. And they were really unhappy with a lot of the things that Lustron was doing. They were first given a loan for $12.7 million. Then more money was given to them to the tune of almost finally $34 million. And they wouldn't make the changes that the government wanted them to, so they called back the loans.
Oh.
So Strandlin and Lustron went into receivership in 1950. And so there were no more. And
so they were only in business for a few years.
For four, yeah, 5 years. Yeah,
got a lot
and
of
they built just about 2,500. And they're in Illinois, some in Wisconsin, Indiana, and Michigan. And there was a whole group of them at Quantico. Those were officers' housing.
Yeah.
But I think most of those have been dismantled.
Were they popular with the soldiers? Was it an effective product?
I'm not sure if they were popular with the soldiers, but they were very the government loved them because they were cheap.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, and so to put up.
Do you know what the government wanted them to change?
Well, first off, the heating design is really bad because the HVAC goes in the closet off of the kitchen next to the ceiling. And as we all know, heat rises.
Yeah.
And you're in a metal house with a concrete floor. So the house tends to be cold. They might have altered the HVAC here.
Between the temperatures of 30 and 75, the house is fairly comfortable and actually is fairly efficient. Now, when you go below 30, then you really consume a lot of heat to keep it warm. It's not that bad. They do have a little bit of an issue in the one corner where there is a water lines coming in. And a lot of times people had to open those, that little access hole open and put a heater there during the real cold snaps. And then, of course, you'll see when you go inside, keeping it cool over 75 is a nightmare.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it just really is. But there's a lot of other nice features about the house. You were talking about how well it was for maintenance. Pretty much everybody around us, a couple years ago, we had a hailstorm, and they're still putting roofs on for people. There's nothing wrong with our roof.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's enameled steel.
I kind of wish we had some of the technology back then that we do now, because that slab, if we had put hot water in there and used that for the heating purposes, it would have been great. One of the problems with this design is the heat goes up in the attic and then you got to try to bring it back down. That's not so good for the winter time, and it really sucks in the summertime. You know, so.
And how long have you been living here in the Lustron?
We've been here for 7 years, and overall we're extremely happy because we're senior citizens. It's one level. There's no steps. One of the negative things is the storage is a little hard to come by here. So you'll see a lot of science stuff sitting out. But that's how we live.
Mm-hmm. You've graciously agreed to give us a tour of it. You'll be able to tell us, like, have there been a lot of changes and modifications to this?
Well, you usually do not see a lot of changes or modifications with the Lustron. Okay. Because, I mean, literally it's put together like a puzzle. Uh-huh. You know, each piece fits together. So by making a modification, then it'll snowball.
How did you get interested in these homes?
Well, I have a master's degree in historic preservation. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing my work, I went to the Art Institute of Chicago. When I was doing my work there, I knew I was going to go back to Rockford. So I wanted to do my projects on things that were going on in Rockford. So I wrote a paper on the Laurent House, which is our Frank Lloyd Wright. And then we always called them the tile houses when I was growing up. And so I was just really kind of interested in them. Yeah, and found out they were the Lustron. So I did a paper then on the Lustron buildings, which actually led me to my thesis topic, because in the small little article in Inland Architecture, it listed the 10 companies that got this money from the RFC, and one of them was Greene's Ready Built in Rockford, Illinois. So I did my master's thesis on Greene's Ready Built, and they had an excellent floor. It was a passive solar heating, and Keck designed a 1.5 foot deep quarry tile floor. And so the sun heated the floor during the day and released the floor at night if you had cloudy days. It was also hollowed out in a very specific direction, and it sent hot forced air throughout the floor.
Okay, we can ask John for that now.
Yeah, no big deal.
It's very ahead of its time. I mean, it's
Yeah.
Well, I would be interested if we ever were lucky enough to hit the Redneck Retirement Plan in something like that, because overall the concept of the house is excellent.
Oh yeah.
It's just would like to be able to insulate it just a little bit better, and wished it didn't cost so much to replace the windows.
And to your point about the technology that we have nowadays, this kind of the whole conversation is kind of coming back up again about prefabricated homes or modular homes, mm-hmm. because we have the same issue that we had basically after World War II, where there's a housing shortage and it's too expensive to build them kind of the normal way. So we're looking at all these ways that you can either prefabricate or modular, you know, construct it mostly somewhere else and then just bring it on site again. So we're mm-hmm. having the same conversation over again.
I guarantee you that these Lustrum homes built versus a modular home, the amount of trouble that you have with them compared to those modular homes is not even close. These were pretty bulletproof, really.
Yeah. You know. Literally, they are bulletproof.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like it's in great shape, the exterior.
Well, I'm not sure just exactly how old this one is. It's a Model 2. The serial number, I can't remember for sure just exactly what it is.
But look in the laundry room.
Yeah, it's in the laundry room. But it's been a really neat thing living in it. It's been a hoot. And like I say, when we go in, you'll see the pictures on the wall, everything. We got a lot of stuff hanging on the walls.
Well, can we take a look?
Sure, sure.
We love it.
So, but as you can see, like these lovely built-ins that were all part of the original design.
So this shelving was included,
Yes. Okay.
And so first thing I noticed was the ceilings, too.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
The huge tiles.
Virtually only a few things, because maybe previous owners drilled the holes. John asked us not to, so pretty much everything you see hanging on the walls is...
These are magnets.
Yeah. All magnetized.
So you put magnets on the back of the frames. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Makes it so easy to move your pictures around.
We super glue the back, glue the back magnets to the back.
Oh, sure.
And we just stick it right up.
Nice.
It's amazing.
It's like your whole house is the fridge.
That's great. Val, what would have been the original flooring?
Yeah.
Linoleum.
Linoleum. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a concrete slab. And then they usually just do linoleum.
And see, there again would be another thing that I would do away with, because that TSR, that's a concrete coating, and would be very, very much more preferable than the tile. Mm-hmm. We found out one other thing, that for cleaning purposes, alcohol is by far the best.
I do have to drink when I'm cleaning, too.
you don't want to drink this alcohol.
Oh,
But, I mean, it really is ingenious marketing when you think about it. You look at all the details, like the closet doors and the built-ins and everything. Every single piece that you're looking at was on that semi when it pulled up to the lot.
So, Val, was it primarily... There's a few different models of the Lustran, right? Mm-hmm. So there's like a two-bedroom, which this is. Mm-hmm. And then did they get larger?
It is very roomy. Most of the models you see are the two-bedroom. I think it was called the Westchester. And then there's a three-bedroom.
Okay.
Larry grabs a flashlight that was stuck to the wall with a magnet and starts showing us some of the details around the house.
That's a good question, though, about the electrical and the HVAC. So with the kit, you could just do your own? You didn't need to...
Well, it came with.
Yeah.
The kit came with everything you needed.
And you wouldn't need to hire...
HVAC. Well, supposedly in the handbook, it told you how to do everything.
Gotcha.
It's like okay. IKEA. Like
you know? IKEA. But it, I mean, it was a handbook house. Like this big.
Yeah.
And actually, I've seen some of those on eBay as well.
Oh, wow.
Just the handbook.
Uh-huh.
Were there companies that just went around building them that you could hire just...
Would they send somebody to build it if you didn't want to
hire,
or if you didn't know how?
You could hire someone.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then the dealerships, too, had people that they would recommend.
Okay.
That were local.
So there were contractors who...
Contractors who would put them together.
Okay.
Val, being someone who has studied these a lot and knows so much of the history, what does it feel like when you step inside one?
Well, I've been in several.
Yeah.
I have been in several. The first one I went in still had the original buffet and everything like that. And a friend of mine actually has a restaurant, and that's his art studio now.
Okay.
And that makes his wife very happy because they live in the other house and he does his artwork in the Lustran.
Okay. Is that in Rockford?
There are 39 Lustrans in Rockford.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Have a lot of them been modified or changed at all? Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, or it's not apparent.
Okay.
And there's one Lustran garage. Those are rare.
Okay.
And a lot of them are in Rolling Green, but also by Rockford Memorial.
Yeah.
Which I guess is not Rockford Memorial anymore. Sorry. Mercy. Oh. But they're there. And one of the ones in Rolling Green, I drove by it several times because they had put faux brick siding on it.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous. But you can still see the original windows and it still has the metal roof and everything, but I didn't see it right away because of the faux brick siding on it.
Yeah.
Trying to blend, go out some night, we can go tear it down if you want.
Okay, right, let's do it. I'm in it.
We're not going to tell you the sad news about the sycamore.
Like, yeah, the sycamore one's in rough shape. Stuff.
Well, there's also one in Rockford where, and I can't wrap my head around this one either, they actually cut a hole in one of the panels to insert a room air conditioner.
That's been done more times.
And so then you can see like little rust marks away from it.
They didn't even do a good job of it.
Right. Yeah.
So Val, when you walk into one of these homes where do your eyes go for the first time, like as an expert? Like what's the first
just
thing
you're to see that the built-ins and stuff are still there?
What point them out?
Well, like the little alcove
the
here.
The shelves here.
Yeah, the shelving there. Kitchen cupboards and things like that just because I think the most fascinating part of it is that it was assembled as a kit. So the whole thing arrived, everything you needed, closet doors, toilet, bathtub. And have you noticed the bathtub small?
Well, this one, they have taken the bathtub
out
and put a shower in.
Oh, okay.
And the whole bathroom area is done over like some of them are doing to some of these other Lustrans here in Mount Morris. And I'm kind of sad about it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
It really...
So they redid the bathrooms.
Because the Lustrans actually made a hole, and I can't remember what the machine is called. It's a press, but it's a cast iron tub that was designed specifically for the Lustran because it was slightly smaller than conventional tubs.
It was cast iron?
And And then they thought everyone else would buy their bathtubs, and no one wanted a smaller bathtub. So that was one of the reasons why they lost money. But anyway, so that the bathtub came on the truck. I mean, everything you needed.
Well, I don't know if they're small. I don't know if Larry would have fit in it.
We mentioned some of these other companies that were also making the prefabricated homes. What sets Lustran apart from the others, and why are they still important and fascinating to people?
Well,
today?
I think the other companies are too. One of the Lustran stands out because it's enameled steel. no one will drive by a Lustron and not notice it.
Yeah, you just don't see a house that looks like
this. Why does it get done without the other?
Well, because, like, I talk about Green's Ready Bill again, that's what I wrote my thesis on. And there's a whole street in Rockford that is three blocks of the GI model, because the GI bill would not cover the passive solar house. They would not give a mortgage for the passive solar house because there was too much glazing. So what Keck did then is he redesigned three different versions, and they called them the GI models. And so if you see a Lustron in Rockford, there's probably a Green's Ready Built right next door. And you can tell them because they have the louvers underneath the windows. But there's three whole blocks on 23rd Street that is all Green's Ready Built homes. And, I mean, they're the perfect size for a starter home. And this is what everyone wanted post-World War II, everyone returning from the service and everything. But, of course, they had to go with the GI Bill because that's how they were getting mortgages. And another interesting little factoid that I'm always amazed by is that Buckminster Fuller was turned down.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Uh-huh. Who was probably one of the greatest architects of the 20th century. Yeah. But the RFC said, nah, we don't like your idea.
He wanted to design one or something?
Well,
what do you mean they turned him down?
Companies applied to be part of the program.
Yeah.
And 10 companies were accepted because of their plan. And I think Green's was accepted because it was designed by George Fred Keck, who was a known Chicago architect. Huh. And Lustron, I think, because Strandlin was just a bulldozer. And he convinced people that everyone needed a Lustron. And by that, I mean people in the federal government. So.
Yeah. It almost, yeah, it sounds like they started off just so good and then just crashed so fast.
Yeah. Well, because they refused to make changes that the government wanted them to make.
Okay.
And again, Strandlin was a bulldozer, so he just kept going. And so the government finally said, okay, pay us back then. And so they had to go into receivership. Yep. Because, play along or get out.
If only someone in the federal government would have been enamored of these and of the geodesic domes.
Oh, yes, I know.
We imagine those everywhere. It would be a whole different world.
Oh, it would be.
Yes.
More people should have listened to Buckminster Fuller.
So overall, though, you're happy here? Like the house?
By far, it's, like I said, the few little quirky things, but it's really nice. It's a good starter home. I think I heard somebody saying that at the beginning. It's a good starter home, and it's a good finishing home. It's a good home for two old people like us.
I'm not old.
I want to live in a Lustron home.
Me too. Let's get a Lustron neighborhood going. We'll have to move to Mount Morris, or there. Rockford has some clusters.
Exactly.
So
I want to find one unbuilt in a warehouse somewhere that we can find and put together ourselves, maybe in the back of the radio station
here. Great idea. Oh, by the way, if people want to find these Lustron homes, we've got a map on our website at wnij.org where you can find the Lustron homes. Oh, it's the best. LustronLocator.com.
LustronLocator.com. That's fantastic. And people can let us know other treasures hidden in plain sight. You can email us if you have an idea for an Under Rocks episode. Email us at rocks@niu.edu. We want to know what's unique in your area.
Oh, let's thank the folks who helped us out this fantastic episode. We had Larry and Cindy.
Larry and Cindy Mine are Lustron Home residents.
John.
Thanks to them. John, of course, the landlord that everybody loves. And our experts, Ashley Sarver and Val Olofsson. Thank you so much to them for sharing their knowledge. And thanks to you for joining us. We'll see you next time on another edition of Under Rocks.
They really are cool, though. And it seems like we've dispelled some myths and maybe got some new
generated
myths too.
New myths.
No way.